Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Folks at home, they're not applauding for me being able to successfully negotiate the steps and stand in front of you. But for our entire worship and praise team and all the gang that makes things possible around here, would you give them another warm hand? Yeah. And so you can see the look back here. It looks a little bit different, doesn't it? Last week we had Will in there, but now we're insulating it better. We've been able to finish out the wall. Now, there's one little thing that you might not have ever noticed, but I think this may indicate that I have CDO. And those that know what I'm talking about know what I'm talking about. It's all actually called OCD, Obsessive Compulsive Disorder, but it's out of order. And so it has to be CDO, compulsive disorder, obsessive. So anyway, for years I've been sitting here and talking to myself at the beginning of the service and looking up and saying, you know, I think the cross is crooked. The cross, I think, is crooked, or the room is crooked, or the wire's wrong, or something. And so I had an opportunity with the ladders out and the tools out, and it's amazing, with a little bit of a shim and a level. And some of you are sitting there going, what? I've never noticed that. You do not have OCD. Hallelujah. But I notice little details like that. They don't exactly drive me crazy, because here's how I know, because I file it away. I'm going to do that. And then a week, I forget. And then I see it again. I go, oh, I'm going to do something about that. And so after kicking that can down the road for about 4 years, I finally had the motive and opportunity and memory and everything all coincide in a perfect storm and was able to level that out. Now, some of you are going to spend the rest of the broadcast, the rest of the service going, I think it's still off by between an eighth and a 16th of an inch. We have it very close now, and I am happy. I am happy. I feel the victory. I want to say again a big thank you. We actually had, I think, 6 or 7 guys show up yesterday to get some orientation on the soundboard. And there are some others that are interested. And so it is a challenge. We already had a challenge this morning. Very simple thing, but it's always simple to the educated. It's very complex to the uneducated. And so we thank the Lord for Iglesia Una Fe. And we have a great partnership with them. Their sound guy came and spent 2 hours with us yesterday. I FaceTimed him, and he bailed us out in about 10 minutes. And so I'm thankful to Brother David Villa, the sound engineer over at Iglesia Una Fe. That's our old facility in River Oaks. That is the Hispanic congregation that is meeting there. And One Faith Church, otherwise known as One Faith Church. And so I'm just so thankful for the partnership we have. And wanted to give a shout out there. But I also want to say thank you very, very, very much to Maxwell, who showed up at 6 in the morning, several mornings, to work with Pastor Doug, pulling out the old baptistry and refabbing it. Now, the next step is we're going to have a new baptistry system, but it's not going to take up the whole back and be impossible to get into. Because the other one, you had to be a combination between world-class athlete and gymnast contortionist to get into that old baptistry. And so that's out. I want to thank Maxwell for coming and being a part of remodeling back here and getting that drum cage in there. I want to thank Cameron in absentia. He's not here for many hours working on the soundboard, getting it programmed. I want to thank Kenny Gibson for coming and pulling cables. I want to thank Maxwell for pulling out all the old cables and the old snake and everything out. Now, I say snake, immediately they say, wait, where is the snake? No, it's an electronic snake. It's just a long piece of cable. And so we're reorganizing the room back here, and so we're going to have everything organized in the area of video and audio, and it'll be a much more pleasant room to walk into and work in and use for multifunctions. And so you have helped us get down the road a long way. I want to thank David Wilson and Ray for coming out and cutting down 2 old trees, dead trees on the property, cutting it into wood and setting it by the road. If there's anything left, you're welcome to it. But I think people have already come by and loaded up with some wood. And then, let's see, there was one other thing. I feel like I'm leaving somebody out. Help me. Help me. Help me. Somebody help me. Either that or it's just some sometimers. And so many of you have given, sacrificed and given. Others have encouraged and others have come and been hands-on. And David helped me with some of the replumbing here back here to make sure there's no more leaking. Nice. No more. There was a gradual leak going on, we discovered. Now, no more leaks. No more damage. And so we're moving forward. You're feel free at the end of the service. Be careful back here because it does drop down 16 inches into an orchestra pit. And so pray with me, a bass player. And maybe one other musician, another keyboardist or something, more the merrier, right? And we'll have place to put them in the orchestra pit. Okay? And so that'll be multifunction. It can function in as a baptistry place. We don't fill it with water now. But we'll put in something that's portable and then move it out and otherwise use it for other things. And so I'm just so thankful for the people that the Lord has given us that have skills and abilities and have come together in a conspiracy here to see our best foot forward. Why? Because we do this for the Lord. Yes, sir. He's worth it, isn't he?
Yes, sir.
His church serving people and making this a place that it will help us to reach out over the internet as well as reach those that come in. And so I'm just thankful for the Lord for some new equipment, some new steps forward, and that we can do a better creative work for the glory and the honor of Jesus. I want us to this morning consider this aftermath. I believe this is the last message in this series because I'm going to tell you at the end of the series where we're going from here. And this is aftermath. And it's going to sound like we're going back to the beginning, but maybe we're connecting back to the beginning. And one of the first in this series was a whole lot of shaking going on. How many remember that? Back in April. Here we are in the end of June. And it's going to be aftermath, the seven mountain shaking. The seven mountain shaking. But before we get into that, I wanted to do something as by way of an illustration. We have a short video, may even have some music with it if we make sure it's unmuted and ready to go. So Chris, if you go ahead and play that. Now, you may be wondering why I showed you this as an introduction, because we're raising money for a new statue in my honor to be situated on the property. No, not actually. We can go ahead and stop that loop, if you would, and go back to the video. Now you're awake, aren't you? At home, you're awake. No. Some of you are already getting your checkbook out. No, put it away. We're not raising money for that today. We're looking at Daniel chapter 2, and we're tagging on to something we're covering in Truth Seekers. We're going through the book of Daniel and Revelation, and as we're concluding this series on aftermath, I want us to come to this idea that what is going on is not new, nor does it catch God by surprise by any stretch of the imagination, but is in fact prophesied. And therefore, we can know some things about what's going on. How many of you know God wants us to know?
Yes, sir.
And that we can have some assurance and some confidence. And that in this aftermath, it's important that we come out of it with a plan. Amen? It's important that we come out with a response. Now, one of the troubling things is that right now, that there's a lot of voices in this country that have been raised to a crescendo. And I just want to say this. Many of these voices are actually representing a super minority of people. A super, super, super minority. And what does that mean? It gets more and more minor as you add the super to it. And so it's like negative exponents. This is a very small group of troublemakers, rabble-rousers, and miscreants, and angry people who are lent the microphone of the national media quite willingly, and it magnifies their voice. Just like a microphone magnifies my voice like it is right now, they get a microphone and they get to blast it 24/7. Have you noticed that the news cycle is now 24/7? 24-hour news. You used to have to wait for a certain hour in the day to get your news. There was a time in this country where people had to go to the movie theater to watch a newsreel before the cowboy western. And that's how they got their news. We knew what was happening overseas in World War II a couple weeks later, after that film was shown in a theater here in the heartland. That's how people caught up. Their news was delayed by a week or 2 weeks or longer that it took to get the news sent by wire and otherwise, produced and then put into play. And so now people are desiring to be in the news, to get clicks and likes, to be seen in YouTube and Instagram and other places. And it's just amazing that you can take a certain, you can take a video of a kitten playing with a ball of yarn, and 1 million people will share it and see it. And so this is an amazing world we live in, but it tends to skew our perspective. It tends to overwhelm our perspective. And so we need to have a plan. We need to have an understanding of what's going on. And then we need to have a plan for how do we walk out of this, because we're not going to react, we are going to respond. And that's different. And what we're seeing right now in our country is a lot of reaction to shaking. Now, we'd also need to understand that there is shaking going on. And that shaking is going on because of what people are doing. It is because of what the enemy is doing. And it's because of what God is doing. There are three things in play. It's not as simple as flipping a coin. Oh, is this the Lord doing this, or is this Satan? It's also, are there men coming together, taking counsel together, and saying, let us throw off the bonds of him who sits in heaven. How about if we go a different way, a different route? And so that, how many of you know that it's tough enough to flip a coin and come up with a 50-50 odds? But now you mess it up if you had a three-sided coin, a triangular coin. Now the chances change. Everything shifts and it becomes much more complex. So there's things that are going on that are shaking, and it's because God is at work, because the enemy is pushing back and trying to thwart and push back against the plans of God. And people are on the move and doing things, and the church needs to do things and say things. And so that, how many of you know that now you just increase the odds? You just increase by exponential numbers. Well, what's really going on? What's the cause? What's happening? And so I wanted to go back all the way back to Daniel chapter 2 and really touch on something that I did not touch on with the Truth Seekers class. And I want to read just a portion of this. Is not all of the verses. This is just a few. I'm going to pick it up right here. We saw the image, right? That's not Pastor Doug's image. That is the image that was seen in a dream by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, around 605 B.C., 2,625 years ago, just a little bit in the future, right? 2.5 millennia. So Daniel goes to him with the impossible task of telling the king the dream he had without him telling the dream. Now, how many of you would like that if your spouse woke up in the morning and said, you know what, I had a dream last night, very interesting, but here, you need to tell me what it was. Okay, not going to happen. I can't do that. and not only tell me what my dream was, but tell me what it means. Well, if I don't know what it was, how can I tell you what it meant? And so Daniel goes after prayer. Here's the key. After prayer with his three friends that have been renamed Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they have a prayer meeting, and he says, we're going to die unless we get the impossible done here by God. And God is a revealer of mysteries. We really need help here because we have to know the dream that he had and the meaning of that dream, and we've got to do that. And so they pray and believe God, and then Daniel goes in, and this is what he says. He says, your majesty looked, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. It looked just like Pastor Doug. And the head of the statue was made of pure gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay. And while you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were all broken to pieces and became like chaff on a threshing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace. But the rock, everybody say the rock. But the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. This was the dream. And now we will interpret to the king, your majesty, you are the king of kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. Remember, this is a pagan worshiper of not God that is being spoken to. He has made you king of kings. How many of you know that title is eventually going to be transferred? We can see that in the book of Revelation. We're cheating ahead. Now, some of you are already cheating ahead in prophecy. You need to stay right with us in the book of Daniel. In your hands, he has placed all mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds in the sky. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them all. You are that head of gold. And it sounds just like the statement made to Adam. I'm going to give you dominion. And after you, another kingdom will arise, which means you're going to go down, right? If another kingdom's going to arise, another kingdom's going to be put down. And God is the one who puts down kingdoms and raises up kingdoms. Amen? Another kingdom will arise inferior to yours. Next, the third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, for iron breaks and smashes everything. And as iron breaks things to pieces, so it will crush and break all the others. And just as you saw that the feet and toes were partly of baked clay and partly of iron, so this will be a divided kingdom, yet it will have some of the strength of iron in it, even as you saw iron mixed with clay. As the toes were partly iron and partly clay, so this kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And just as you saw the iron mixed with baked clay, so the people will be a mixture and will not remain united any more than iron mixes with clay. And how many of you are seeing a lot of disunification today? We can argue that there are small groups that are unified, but the large group is not united. There's a lot of fracturing, a lot of breaking. How many of you know that we came out of Europe, by the way? The European, right, yeah. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. Put your hands together and thank the Lord. That we got to keep our eye on that. He will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. So it's not going to be passed on, inherited. It's going to be set up and it's going to remain. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. Give the Lord another hand clap right there. I like that, forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of a mountain, but not by human hands. A rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces, the great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. Everybody say future. Everybody wants to know the future, don't they? They really do. Otherwise, they wouldn't go to Gene Dixon and all these other people and look at the astrology and the charts and all of these things, trying to figure out what's going to happen. What's happening? What's happening right now? What's going to happen in the immediate future? And how do I respond to that? What do I do? We're going to begin answering that question as we summarize this series of messages on aftermath. The dream is true and its interpretation is trustworthy. So we notice this, a five-part statue, rock made without hands, smashes the image, becomes a mountain, fills the whole earth. Everybody say mountain. I've left that out, I think. Mountain. It becomes a mountain. Fills the whole earth, crushes other kingdoms, and is not left to another people. It endures forever. Now, if that's going to happen, we have to understand if a mountain is going to come up, how many of you know that there are mountains that are still rising up? And that there are islands still being formed in the sea. You can go to different places on the earth and find where, because of the flow of magma, because of volcanic tectonic activity, that something that used to be submerged is now shifted and it's now up out of the water. And conversely, things that used to be up out of the water are now submerged. And so there's a give and take there. There are things that go down and things that come up. And this is going on still on planet Earth. And in order to have a mountain be formed and fill the old earth, it's going to have to cause a shaking in regards to the other mountains. Are you with me? Some of you are going, well, are we going to go into plate tectonics now, Pastor? No. We're going to go into spiritual tectonics. We're going to go into an understanding that things are shifting and things are shaking because a kingdom is being established and other kingdoms are fighting it. God is the one who raises up kingdoms and puts down kingdoms, and we have to understand that the kingdom of God was revealed in the coming of Jesus Christ, the rock. Amen. Jesus is the rock. Yes, does that sound familiar? Yes, if you hear that phrase, Jesus is the rock, and you don't connect it to Daniel 2, you're missing a big part of the picture. Right. Jesus is the rock. He is the rock made without hands. Supernatural in origin, and he smites these kingdoms. Now, at the same time, Jesus stood before one of the most powerful people on the face of the earth. He had that opportunity. He was not thoroughly impressed with it, however. Jesus never stood before Caesar, but he stood before the man who was responsible for Philistia, who was responsible for the land of Israel and surrounding areas, and he was a procurator, and his name was Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate would be visited from time to time by the Caesar. He was very high ranking and had great responsibility in the kingdom of Rome. And Jesus stood before this man of high authority. And that man was talking to him and he said, are you a king? And he basically answered the question like this, yes. But my kingdom is not of this world. Not of this world. Now that doesn't mean it's simply otherworldly, ethereal, and can't be tangibly experienced, because Jesus went about doing the miraculous. And as he went and did the miraculous, what was happening? He said, the finger of God is moving amongst you, because when a physical eye that was blind can now see, how many of you know that's a physical thing? When a person who is physically dead is raised from the grave, that is a physical thing. Jesus went about straightening broken limbs, healing people physically, and doing physical activity with them to show them something. The God who is invisible is not limited to the ethereal and the supernatural. He is wanting to reveal himself within the physical earth. Right. Yes. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. That's a hallelujah. Now, as that happens, there has to be a response and a reaction by the enemy and by the kingdoms of men. Jesus stood there and looked at Pilate and said, I'm a king, but my kingdom is not of this world, or else I would urge my followers to take up arms and fight. It's not, and Paul would tag onto that later and say, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality and power and wickedness in high places. And we also wrestle over against wickedness that's on the earth in the hearts of men. People who are driven by unclean spirits and all this. So there's a supernatural edge to it. There is a natural edge to it. And then there is this high edge to it where there are these ascended, these archon, these are trying to call shots upon the earth. And it's over against what God has promised. And that, what is that? I'm going to smite these kingdoms. And I'm going to establish my kingdom in the earth. And what would Jesus pray? Thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, in the meantime, in 2020, we are experiencing something called the seven mountain shaking. Why is this important? Because typically, it's not unusual for us to get one or two mountains to be affected. We've had global economic problems. We've had global unrest of certain kinds. But what you're seeing, ladies and gentlemen, and those at home, and those who will be watching this later, is you're actually seeing the seven mountains of culture globally all being affected at the same time. And why is that important? Because I believe that all seven have to be shaken and challenged in order for the Antichrist to take charge, but more importantly, for him to be defeated and for Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of all Lords, to be seated in Jerusalem and to rule the earth with a rod of iron. Amen? Give the Lord a hand. So I'm here to tell you, as you feel this shaking, let's not just pay attention to the shaking. Let's look a little bit bigger and realize I want to help you this morning and help me and help my heart to have some confidence, because this is not just about the enemy doing what he's doing, and it's not just about wicked people doing what they're doing, but God is also establishing his kingdom. And his kingdom shall come, and his will shall be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? So, amen. Give the Lord another hand clap there. But in the meantime, there's going to be a shaking. There's going to be a battle. There's going to be some tough times. How many are ready for tough times? Look at your neighbor and say, just want to encourage you. Things are going to get tough. Yeah. Isn't that a great encouragement? But what's it about? It's about his kingdom coming and being established. It's not going to be without a fight. It's not going to be without... And we get frustrated because we don't know what to do. How frustrated does it make you feel? It makes me feel frustrated when I hear Jesus say, yes, I'm a king, but my kingdom is not of this world, but I would... Or I would ask my servants to fight. At that time, I feel like Peter. I want to say, Jesus, tell us go and we'll fight. Jesus, if you'll just say the word... I don't care if I have a piece of wood, an axe handle. You are going to anoint that. I can take the goad off of an ox. I can take the jawbone of a donkey. And by your anointing, like Samson, I can go kill 300 people in your name. Hallelujah. Right? There's something down in our nature says, we gotta do something. Right? Now, hang on to some of that energy, because I just want to share with you some basic things. Now, I'm going to tell you this. We're going to kind of hit through this and skip through this morning. But I want you to go back and look at the devotions all week, because I'm going to be able to go in deeper. Everybody say deeper. Deeper in devotions. Okay? And I just want to get this before you and skim the surface. Everybody say skim the surface. And the thing about skim the surface, it didn't take very long. Now, you don't have to memorize this. There's not going to be a test as you go out the door. But I just want to register this, and feel free to just take one or two and say, boy, that really resonates with me, okay? So here it is, real simple. First of all, the first mountain that's being shaken is faith and philosophy. Faith and philosophy. This is people's worldview. This is what they believe about whether there's a God or not a God and who that God is. This is where people believe in Jesus or don't. Okay? This is where people are monotheist, polytheist, pantheist, atheist. They have different views. How many know there's different views in the world? Okay? And so I just want to let you know that as a believer, There is no room in the kingdom of God for anything but a monotheistic believer in God who accepts Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, as the Messiah. You can't get into the kingdom of God that is being established on the earth except you first believe in God and His Son whom He sent. That's what the Bible makes very clear. You have to have a worldview that there is a God and He has revealed Himself through Jesus, His Son, and He has come as our Savior and is coming again as our coming King. So here's what I want to tell you about that. Be courageous and do not be silent. Be courageous and do not be silent. The world needs bold people who know God and live by faith. Do not hide out on your faith. This is a time vision, church, when we need to stand up. We need to make the supernatural more normal in our life. The world needs to encounter the supernatural through you. This is a time for the kingdom of God to be firmly established in your heart and to come out and play. Hello? Now, we want to hide right now. When things shake, what do you want to do? Hide. When earthquakes come, what do you want to do? Hide. Some of us go out with a video and get some video. Hey, this will go on YouTube and I'll get a million likes. But most of us, we want to hide out where it's safe. We can't hide. We've got to get out there and get engaged. Number two, arts, entertainment, and sports. Have you noticed that we're without arts, entertainment, and sports pretty much, unless you want to watch reruns from 4 years ago? Isn't that amazing? That's being shaken, folks. There's a shaking going on. At the same time that that's being challenged, there's a major shift in this area. It is undergoing a reset, and it is aligning more deeply with darkness. Arts, entertainment, and sports. Now people are, what is the big outrage of the day? NASCAR, a supposed noose hanging in a garage, which was trick photography by somebody who had an agenda. It was false. It was a lie. We have sports stars and entire teams now that are saying, oh, we're going to do this, not going to do that. Now, and everything's being, you notice everything is moving away from just sportsmanship and doing something and being together, and it's flipping. Let me tell you which way it's flipping, ladies and gentlemen. It's flipping towards the darkness. It is not moving towards the light. So what do we do? What does a believer do? Excel and bring influence. If you're gifted with athleticism, be strong, grow a backbone, be bold, and bring influence, and resist and abstain. One of the most powerful things we're going to have to do as believers is turn stuff off. Refuse to go and not support. Why? Because in this world, money talks. Money talks. Number three, media, news, and information. 24/7 news cycle, right? Facebook, Instagram, Twitter feeds, news feeds. I want you to be aware that reporting is being replaced with paid propaganda. Right now, in American newspapers and on websites, China and Russia and other people are paying money because they have sagging sales. And here's the exchange. We'll give you this money. Please publish these articles. They're already pre-written for you. This will get you clicks. This will get you likes. It's already been tested. It'll work. And there are entire propaganda arms of CCP, the Communist Chinese Communist Party, and out of Russia and other places that are constantly shopping these stories. They go to the news media. They need column inches. They need somebody to support them. Why? Because of the people who are subscribing, the numbers are dropping. And so they're looking for funding. And as a result, the reporting we're hearing is paid propaganda. And it is harder and harder to tell the difference. They're using video scenes from something that didn't happen. It's happening all the time. And it's more than somebody's lazy in the cutting room and the editing room. It's point and click, folks. There's no laziness involved. It's either take this clip or that clip. And they're putting stuff in there because there's agendas behind the scenes. And you just need to wake up and realize you need to be aware. So what's a Christian to do? Put your head in the sand and cry. No. Read Scripture. go and read history. No history, no biblical history. That'll open up a lot to you. And then read history. Disagree agreeably and find discussions to have, not arguments. Because people need the opposing view to come to them, but not in an offensive opposing way. Are you with me? Coming with questions and helping them to look a little bit deeper, because what's happening is they're just swallowing it. They're just taking it in, and it's happening in the church. We are sitting there because we have been programmed for years that if Uncle Cronkite said this, Uncle Walter said this, this was true. Lyndon Baines Johnson realized that he would not get reelected because Walter Cronkite took an opposite position from him on the Vietnam War. And Lyndon Baines Johnson said, if I have lost Walter Cronkite, I have lost America. Why? Because Americans trusted Uncle Walter. He always told them straight, and he shot straight with them. At least that's what they believed. And I'm not here to call into question Walter Cronkite. But there is a foregone idea that if somebody says something, it must be true. And if they say it and they're paid millions of dollars, it's got to be true. And if they're setting in a set that costs $500,000, broadcasting from New York City, Washington, D.C., or L.A. and have great hair and porcelain teeth, it has to be the absolute truth. And I'm here to tell you that you are being sold a bill of goods, and we need to start rejecting it. And we need to become not negative Nancys and certainly not a Karen. But we need to become wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And say, I'm not going to swallow. There's something about that doesn't smell right, doesn't sound right. I'm going to get back in the Word. I'm going to go check that out. And then I'm going to know what I'm talking about. Number four, business, economics, and science. There is a constant pressure to align business, economics, and science globally. Have you noticed that? Global warming, global climate change, global accords, the G8 summit, so on and so forth. They're pushing this stuff globally. How many of you know that the Antichrist is going to be a global leader? So we have to be very careful that business, economics, and sciences are undergoing a realignment ideologically, moving away from a certain form of economics to another. Have you noticed things like communism, socialism, and these things now are on everybody's lips? Global climate change, anthropocentric global climate change, on and on and on. So what is a Christian to do? Know God's word regarding business. What does God's word say about business? And do you know there are tons of scriptures that talk about how to conduct business and how you do it, how to do it honestly? It's there. God's word on economics. It's there in scripture. He talks about it. And science. And let me just say this. Every place that the Bible purports to speak about something scientifically, it is accurate 100% and it can't be disproven. There can be other theories and competing theories, but this Bible has something to talk to us about science. Number five, another mountain that's being shaken. Government and politics. You notice that? Somebody said, Pastor, this is a 8.2 on the Richter scale. We are seeing upheaval in our country. That's the understatement of the year. This mountain is being shaken to its core. Government and politics. Globally, there is a shift towards leftism, Marxism, socialism, and communism. In the last century, in the 20th century, at least 85 million people globally were put to death in the name of raising up Marxist, socialist, communist governments. 85 million people. And most of them between the years of 1930 and 1970. Within 40 years, 60 million people. And it was always in the name of communism, socialism, Marxism, leftism. It was always a movement from the left, and it resulted in a huge number of people dying. So, I mean, that's really negative, isn't it? That's downright depressing if you stop and think about that. That's horrible. So what's a Christian to do? Find people who represent the original values of America and Scripture and vote. We still can vote. Now, I want you to notice this. The idea that your vote counts is being constantly undermined. The idea that it can be stolen, constantly being preached to you. Why? They're trying to demotivate people from voting. Why? Because that's still pretty much intact. So here's who you need to vote for. And I'm saying, forget party. Just look at Scripture. Look at the platform of the person. And on balance, what they accomplish with policy, and handle that. Now, I want to say this before I move off of this and move to number six, and it's this very simply. I hear this frequently from people, and I just want to take it on. And here's what I hear from people. Not necessarily you. You would never say this, right? But, in fact, I had somebody tell me, you're a preacher for crying out loud. You ought to decide what you're going to do. Lead politically or lead spiritually. Hello? Now, let me tell you the truth on this. How many of you are interested in the truth? Even if we can't handle it. Right? According to that character in A Few Good Men. You can't handle the truth. Everything in life is religion and politics. You can't live without both of those. Your worldview and your relationship with God forms up your spiritual life. And therefore informs what you do as a policy and how you believe people should be handled. What's politics? Handling people. And what is religion? Dealing with God. So people are basically saying to me, hey, you go off in your God corner and spend time with God, but don't bring that monkey business out here where it affects us. And that's the exact opposite of what Jesus said. Jesus said, be of good cheer, go into the world. The world will hate you because it hated me, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And to be salt and light means that as a believer, you have to open your mouth and you have to speak for the light, you have to shine the light, you have to act within the context of the light, and that is going to inform your politics and how you vote. It should and it must. We can't accept this lie that we need to back out. And right now, there's a pressure against the church to shut it up and get it out of the public marketplace. Essential businesses are liquor stores, beauty shops, and Lowe's and Home Depot. And I love to go Lowe's and Home Depot. I'll go every day if you let me. Give me a gift card. Enable my habit. Right? I love it. But they want to take the church and say, it's not essential. It's not essential. So government and politics, find people who represent the original values of America and Scripture and vote. That mountain's being shaken, but we're receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Amen? Number six, family. The God-designed nuclear family has been under attack since the Garden of Eden, and now gender roles are thrown in for good measure. So what's a Christian to do? In this environment of two daddies, two mommies, cross-gender, and people getting reassignments, and now this non-specific gender selection and all this mess. I want to tell you what this is. This is darkness speaking against the light of God's revealed plan, which is there are men and women. Right. And it's all the way embedded into their DNA. It's undeniable. It's down in their code. You're either a man or a woman. You're a male or you're a female. That's it. There is no ambiguous nature. And this is an offense to God. This is a stench in the nostrils of God. And there's no greater stench than people in the church. Well, you're going to really like this one. Preachers who are celebrating transgenderism in the light of somebody being able to reveal their true self and live for God in this transgender position. Garbage. It's a lie. Straight out of hell, there's sulfur draped all over it. God had made them from the beginning, Jesus said. Jesus was angry at divorce. Yes, sir. He says that from the beginning was not so. That's not God's plan. That's not God's design. God has designed them male and female, and He's put them together as Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. This is an attack on family. Why? Because it's an attack upon the family of God. There's a disruption. It's to disrupt these ideas of male and female, these traditional roles that God has given us, because it violates above all this idea that God is our Heavenly Father. And by the way, God transcends gender. Gender is only an earth-based phenomenon. And so far as I can tell, it is not a heavenly phenomenon. Read your Bible and find it. Show me anywhere a female angel. I'll give you a gift card to Lowe's. What's a Christian to do? Model the proper roles in the family and resist the pressure to make normal the ungodly. It's not normal. No, that's not normal. That doesn't mean go be mean to them. They always portray Christians as disagreeing with their lifestyle and then what? Taking a Mack truck and driving over them? Formulating a bomb and blowing them up? No. We just simply say this. That's not God's will. That's not God's best. God has a better plan for your life than that. And you know, they want to throw us in jail. And then they want to release onto the streets the people who really do damage to people. Have you seen this thing flip upside down? So just be a good role model and don't accept that mess. Number 7, education. Children are seen as the property of the state, and education is becoming brainwashing and connected to global efforts. It's now going international. So what is a Christian to do? See, our local schools are becoming brainwashing facilities and propaganda facilities. Just like Hitler's 1932 Germany, just like Russia, it's happening in the United States. What do we do? Some of you are saying, Pastor, you're scaring me. No. Don't be afraid. Let's look at the kingdom that's being established. What's a Christian to do? Enroll in Christian school, homeschool. We're going to see homeschooling increase. We're going to see it. Increase involvement with public school children. Hello? We've got to offset this. We have a place of ministry here, like on Wednesday nights, where we have an opportunity to offset what they're hearing. Do you know that what schools are right now ordering by the hundreds of thousands? Any kind of curriculum that can teach Black Lives Matter ideology, which is nothing but Marxism. They're actually going with Marxism and using the black issue rather than being foremost a Black Lives issue. We need to influence as an educator. Talk about a mission field to go in there and become an influence and make the difference. Why? Because all of these mountains are being shaken all at the same time. And that mountain being shaken means people's lives are being turned upside down. And who do they need to meet? They need to meet the rock. Because that rock is going to shatter and shake that mountain and bring it down to its non-essentials and make it like chaff before the wind. And instead, they can form their life up upon the rock, who is Jesus, the Christ of God. Would you applaud him this morning? And with that, let's stand to our feet and we'll close with a word of prayer. Lord, as we look at this aftermath, we do not need to be afraid. Fear not is what I hear from you. And I hear you talking to us like you did to that king. King, there's a future I'm going to tell you about. And then Daniel unfolded to that king all the way through to today. That king of Babylon in 605 BC saw 2,625 years unfolded before his very eyes. Lord, there is a future that is sure. There is a future that is certain. We do not need to be afraid of tomorrow because your grace is sufficient for that day. Lord, I pray that you would release us as a congregation, that you would release us into writing a new story, that you would release us with a plan starting in the next couple weeks, that we're going to go forward and we're going to become people of fasting and praying again, people of repentance again. We're going to be a people who abstain from wickedness and withdraw, and we're going to be a people who seek your face. We're going to be a people who get about the business of rescuing people whose lives are being affected by the crumbling mountains and the tearing down places of the high places of the enemy. Your kingdom is going to fill the earth. You will be glorified and you will be seated in Jerusalem. The time of the Gentiles will be past, and the time of The Antichrist will be dealt with, and then you upon the earth. That's going to happen, and it will not be stopped by any kingdom, by any man. It cannot be stopped. Meanwhile, Lord, here we are in the shaking of the seven mountains, and we ask that our lives would not be shaken, and that they would not be stirred, and that fear would not touch our heart, but that we would align ourselves with you and find your grace and an ever-present help in the time of trouble. Lord, give us a plan. Give us a way to go forward. Give us a strategy. Give us a vision, Lord, that during these times of uncertainty and fear, we can go forward and press your kingdom. And Lord, we ask that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. The Lord bless you as you go. And those that are watching by home, thank you for tuning in. We'll see you all this week with all kinds. And remember, come in Monday morning and pick up a devotional. We're going to look at deeper and pray through each of these mountains and God's solution. The Lord bless you. Have a great day, and we'll see you.